Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first half results 2020 conference call and live webcast. I am Moira, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Robert Oudmayer, CEO, Mr. Pascal Perritaz, CFO, and Mr. Volker Gloe, CRO of Cembra Money Bank. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Yeah, thank you, Moira, and good morning, everyone. I'm here. My name is Robert. I'm here with Pascal and with Volker to talk about the first half year results from Cembra. If you go to the summary page, as you see, there's a net income of 74.1, which is 6% lower than last year, but quite resilient. In my view, also the financing receivables are quite resilient. They went down 3%. With lower volumes and lower attrition. So we had quite some lower application levels in the second quarter, but what we see is that people stay where they are, they try it less. So you see quite resilient receivable levels. Net revenues increased by 22%, and mainly driven by the acquisition of Cashgate. And you see an 11% decrease in commission and fee, really linked to the lower card spend as a result of the lockdown, and we'll give you some more insight, of course, in this one afterwards. Loss rate very stable, 0.9% during the first 6 months of this year. Return on equity at 13.8%, with a capital ratio at 70%, and last but not least, the Cashgate integration successfully completed at the 4th of July. So if you move to the next page, I want to talk a bit about the markets. Let's start with the personal loan market. So the personal loan market went down 2% year over year, which is also very resilient. If you look at the Cembra receivables, we went down 4%. And basically, I would say that is a very good number. We remember one thing, when we did the Cashgate acquisition, we said that we would expect to lose some receivables due to the Cashgate acquisition in both personal loan and in auto. So far, the market share is stable at 44%. The dis-synergies from the Cashgate integration so far has been very limited. I think we have to be a bit cautious with this, because also remember that we didn't get too much new volume in there. We had a lot of low attrition. People normally stay in these kind of situations in their loans and they don't go. So I think basically we should lose a bit of market share after the Cashgate integration, but so far it's very stable at 44%. Same story basically on the auto. Our market share is at 22% versus 23% in December 19, so very limited dis-synergies from Cashgate integration. Also, we haven't lost a lot there. The market is a bit different there. You see that new cars went down 34% in the first half of 2020, and then the used cars only 7%. So typically what you see is that in these times of crisis, people move a bit more to the used car market. Also, when you order now a new car, you probably have a waiting time of 4 or 5 months, because some of the factories has been closed for about 2 months. So you see that the used car market is still doing quite well. Really some crisis in the new car market. 34% is, of course, a huge decrease, and also the expectations for the full year 2020 are not very positive on the new car market. Our net financial receivables went down 3%. We've been doing quite well on the used cars. We saw basically when after the reopening of the market at mid-May, 11th of May, that we saw a lot of auto applications coming in again. So the auto business, in my view, is in a relatively very good shape. Credit cards, we went over the 1 million credit cards, so the cards issued were 7% up year on year. We're now over 1 million. The good news is that Cembra outperformed the market in the first 5 months, because those numbers are from the first 5 months. The market was down 19%, and we were down 9% on the transactional volumes. Why was that? I think we are more a local card, so we are not a typically travel card. We're also very strong in Migros, so also the retail spend on cards has been quite nice in the first in the second quarter. And I think we are in that sense more resilient than the market. Market share slightly increased at 14%, and NFC very strong still, 20% market share as of May 2020. On the next page, I'd like to give you a bit more insight in the card transactional volumes and the revenues. what you see is basically, and this is the first time that we really disclose the volumes by month. You see a strong start of the year in January, February. Then in March, went down, you know, minus 16%. April, really the biggest downtime, basically not a lot of spend. Then in May, recovery, and basically in June, in my view, very positive numbers at the same level as last year, even a little bit better than last year. You also see the market there, so we're outperforming the market. The revenues are not recovering as quickly as the volumes. So what you typically see is that two events probably important. One is the 11th of May when the dealerships and the retailers reopened again. You see also in May the rebound. And then the next big event was, of course, the 16th of June where the international borders reopened again. So in the first half year numbers, you don't see a lot of ethics from the international volumes because only the 16th of June the borders reopened. We see some nice traction now. It's coming back step by step. But in the first half year, you see volumes recovering where the international spend has not been recovering a lot. The other message what it gives you is that the market is moving from cash to cards more and more. We have seen several studies where the cash payments are coming down and down. Also, I think helpful was the increase from the limits, the contactless limit from 40 francs to 80 francs. You see more and more people spending the cards and not paying cash anymore. One last remark on this page is on the interest income that went up. So you see that interest income went up from 38.3 to 41.6, which tells you that the revolve rate also went up quite a bit. Moving to the next page, Cashgate integration, a few words on this one. The branch network is completely consolidated, so we combined already the headquarters in Zurich in December 19. Also, the service center in Renault was combined in December 19. The branches has also been now completely integrated in July, 2 months later than planned due to the COVID situation. We couldn't move the people. We also took advantage of the whole situation to accelerate the branch consolidation. We are now down from 17 to 13 branches, what you should consider as a stable number for the next period. I think the whole situation showed us that the digitalization is accelerating, and we took advantage to close a few more branches. On the business integration, the complete integration was done early July, so 95% of the transactional service agreements are terminated. One is still in place. It was also foreseen that will be the collections TSA until next year. We transferred already all the employees to Cembra, and all the systems were migrated as well. So basically, the integration was completed in 11 months with no surprises on cost and benefits. A few words on the commercial consolidation. So we're originating basically from one system in auto and on for brokers since the 1st of Jan. We also built Cashgate as an online brand. So there we're also completely on track on the commercial consolidation. What has to be still done is basically the legal merger, which is foreseen for next year, some further back-end consolidation, which is probably in 2022, and some synergies. I think the synergies are gradually coming in, and we're well on track to deliver on the benefits as we announced last year with the Cashgate acquisition. With that, I would like to hand over to Pascal, who's going to give you more details on the first half 2020 financial results.
Thank you, Robert, and good morning, everyone. Cembra reports resilient half-year results with a strong business performance during the COVID-19 pandemic and the consequent lockdown of the Swiss economy, as already mentioned by Robert. Let me dig deeper into the numbers, starting with the P&L on the page 8. The interest income grew by 22% as a result of the Cashgate acquisitions, and excluding Cashgate, the underlying interest income growth would have been around 1%. The interest expense was 28% higher at 13.7 million, and this reflects the 1.4 billion increase in funding for the acquisitions of Cashgate. The overall 11% decrease in commission and fees income was due to lower card spent as a result of the lockdown in Switzerland, partially offset by higher insurance and loan and lease fees mainly as from the acquisitions. Swiss billing mainly drive the increase in over. As already mentioned by Robert earlier, the overall cards revenues decreased by 11%, with interest income up 9%. As you can see here, the commissions and fees income decreasing by 27% or 13 million. During the COVID situations, we observed a shift in our source of revenues from cards, with higher interest income driven by higher interest-bearing assets and lower commissions due to the significant reductions in spending abroad, mainly due to travel restrictions. The number of cards issued continued to increase, up 7%, above 1 million, with the transaction volume declining by 7% year-on-year, respectively, as 9% for the first 5 months compared to the 19% reductions on the market. We also observed differences in volume by industries for the first 6 months, and I just want to give you here some examples. So transactions volume for grocery stores went up 40%. Volume as well for electronics went up 31%, furniture 20%. On the opposite, travel agencies, car rental went down 60%, airlines 50%, hotels, lodging 45%. The provisions for losses increased by 11 million, and this is primarily due to the acquisitions. And despite the unfavorable environment, this resulted in a loss of 0.9% in line with the prior years. Volker will mention later, we also recorded a so-called environmental reserves of 2.3 million to strengthen the allowance for losses of the personal loan portfolio and to proactively reflect the changing economic environment in the context of COVID. Again, as Volker will provide more insights in a couple of minutes. And finally, as the OPEX operating expense increased by 21%, the cost income was 50.3% for the first 6 months compared to 46.5% in the same period last year. And adjusted for the integration cost of Cashgate, the cost income would have been 47.9%. I will further comment in one of the next slides. Next page, the net revenue by source. So in the personal loan business, the receivables declined by 4%. And the repricing of the P-loan book, though, following the implementations of the interest cap in 2016, is more or less completed. Therefore, the 23% increase in the interest income to 97 million is primarily due to the acquisitions in the second half of 2019. The yield of 7.4% was as expected, and I would expect this yield to remain stable for the full year 2020. On the auto lease and loan, the net financing went down 3% in the reporting period. The interest income 32% higher with a yield of 4.5%. Again, here is the increase due to the acquisitions, and I will also expect this yield to remain stable for the full year 2020. In the credit cards, the net financing declined by 4%. The interest income in the card business grew by 9%. With a yield of 8.2. The change in the yield is not driven by pricing change, but by lower non-interest-bearing assets during the lockdown. Let's go now to the next page and discuss the operating expense. Personal expense or compensations and benefits came to 65.8. This is up 15%. And this is following the addition of 134 FTEs, which are related to the Cashgate acquisitions, as well as some additional FTEs to support our growth in card, Swiss billing, and online business. The increase in marketing is largely driven by Cashgate Online and the launch of the Cembra SME business in February, and partially offset by temporary reductions of our marketing spend during the COVID situations. The 98% increase in depreciations and amortizations are due to the 5.9 million amortizations of the 52 million intangible assets that we booked at day one of the acquisitions of Cashgate to be amortized over or depreciated over a 5 years period. On the cash gate, already mentioned by Robert, so we are pleased with the progress we made with the cash gate and we completed the operational integrations in line with timeline and cost related to the transactions. Integrations and transition agreement were lower than expected. After the people and the commercial integrations, the last key milestone was the successful IT carve-out achieved this month. Remaining will be the legal merger plan in 2021. We incurred 6 million integration and transitions cost for the first half of the year related to Cashgate after the 8 million incurred in 2019 as already disclosed in our full year 2019 results. In addition, we capitalize around 5 million of cost to be depreciated in the next 5 years. So in total, the integrations and transactions costs related to the Cashgate acquisitions are expected to be around 20 million compared to the original assumptions of 25 million. So adjusted for the integrations cost and the transition services agreement with the seller, the cost income ratio stood at 47.9 compared to the 50.3 including this cost. Finally, last year we announced that we would invest around 40 million in digitizations and product development for the first for the period 2019-2021. We incurred 7.1 million for this H1 2020 compared to 6.5 million for the period in 2019. Let's go now on the balance sheet. On the balance sheet, the group total net financing receivables amounted to 6.4 4 billion, a decline of 3% compared to year-end 2019, and this is largely attributable to the impact of the COVID-19 lockdown in Switzerland. The decrease in funding was in line as with the decline in assets. Finally, on the equity, the shareholders' equity decreased by 3% after Chembrazo, we paid out the full dividend in April 2020 of 110 million for the financial year 2019. And this was obviously partially offset by the net income for the first 6 months of this year. On the funding, the group funding portfolio declined by 3%, as just mentioned, in line with the lower asset base. The funding mix remains stable. Compared to the end of 2019, 57% deposit, 43% non-deposit. The weighted average durations was slightly reduced to 2.8 years compared to 2.9 years we had at the end of 2019. And the period end funding cost was 43 basis points versus 44 we had at the end of 2019. The reductions of the cost of funds is mainly driven as well by lower costs related to the ABS. As already mentioned several times, we placed as well an ABS in March with a 250 million as well principles. I would like now to hand over to Volker for the provisions for losses.
Thanks, Pascal, and good morning, everyone. For the first half of 2020, we can report a stable loss performance with a loss rate of 0.9%, which is in line with the normalized number from the same period last year and also in line with what we have been seeing in the years before. Translated into absolute numbers, the loss provision for the first half came in at 30.2 million, which is around 8 million higher than the adjusted for one-off number in 2019. The main explanation, and Pascal highlighted that already here, is the loss provisioning for the Cashgate portfolio that obviously was not part of the 2019 number, and hence we also see that the loss rate as a percentage then is stable. There is one more item that should be mentioned around the loss provision in the first half of 2020. The loss provision contains the booking of an additional allowance of 2.3 million that we call an environmental reserve. Due to the current COVID-19 environment, its implications on the macroeconomy and the fact that we haven't seen any material impact on the credit quality of our portfolios yet, we decided to book an additional allowance due to this uncertainty. This is obviously a very prudent approach, and the macro future will then show if and to what extent this additional allowance is actually needed or not. As mentioned, so far we haven't seen any clear impact of COVID-19 on the loss performance. Also, portfolio quality metrics with 30-plus delinquencies at 2.1% and NPL ratio at 0.7% remain strong and stable relative to prior periods when normalized for the one-off effects in the past, so in a like-for-like comparison. In the current environment, we obviously continue to remain cautious around our risk-taking. When the outbreak of the pandemic started, we were very fast in implementing measures to protect the credit quality of our portfolios by strengthening collections activities and also by restricting specific higher-risk segments in our product lines. So far, it has paid off, and we see a solid loss performance that we, based on what we know today, also would expect for the full year of 2020. And with that, I hand it back to Pascal to talk about the capital position.
Thank you, Volker. So on the capital, the Cembra remain as a very well capitalized with a solid Tier 1 ratio of 17%, which is at target level, compared to 16.3% as we had as of December 2019, and a core equity ratio of 44%. The risk-weighted assets decreased in line with the reductions of assets. And with that, I would like to hand over to Robert.
Thank you, Pascal. Just a few words on the macroeconomic outlook. I just want to really keep it short here. We followed here basically the SECO numbers, the latest SECO numbers, which predicts a shrink of 6.2% in 2020 and a 5.3% recovery on the GDP in 21. You also know probably the interest rate expectations. They are supposed to remain negative for long term. And then the unemployment rate going to 3.8% this year and 4.1% that year, next year. This is basically what we've taken in general in our predictions, but I think the next page is probably more interesting. This is the H2 priorities and how we adjust to the new economic reality. Basically, five things on this page. So the first one is continue to deliver despite COVID-19. So I think regaining organic revenue growth in all business lines is important to us. Manage costs very tightly. Align them with the revenue development. You know that we've been quite restricted on marketing expense and external expenses. And then also accelerate the digital transformation. So continue to deliver in a economical difficult environment with a supposed recovery in 21 where we will not jeopardize any of the long-term plans that we have. So it's a short-term management of the crisis. That also brings me to the next point, so continuous focus on risk performance. We have implemented tighter underwriting rules and some additional risk assessments. We strengthened collections processes, and we have increased the staffing and training on the collection side. We deployed limited debt restructuring solutions. We don't use them a lot, to be honest, because we have implemented this in March. We have not seen quite a high usage of those restructuring solutions, but also now focus on risk performance. I always say now being successful in consumer finance is being successful on risk management, and I think it proves a little bit it helps a lot to focus on risk performance. Then I think the cards business is very important to us. We are investing in CRM. We are also investing in the self-servicing of cards. I think with a million cards, part of the cost management and part of the CRM is really getting more self-serving of cards. But on the microbank, the card launch of the microbank has been delayed. The reason for this is that microbank has a new CEO. They're also in the middle of a COVID crisis, and they're reviewing the project portfolio. It's not off. It has been delayed so far. Then drive existing and new partnership. We have a healthy pipeline as well for new partnership on the cards business. A few words on the new products. We haven't spoken about SME, about Swiss billing. So SME, we launched the SME business the 14th of February, which is probably the most unfortunate date to do it. With all the COVID-19 loans, we stopped basically originating. We stopped originating new business. I think we regain this one in early next year. So I don't think it makes a lot of sense now to try to book a lot of volumes on the SME side. I still believe strongly in the product. I still believe strongly in the setup. So I think we're going to restart the SME launch early next year, and that will be my best guess so far.
Swiss Billing, we continue to scale up Swiss Billing. They were live, they are completely live with Swisscom directories. The live went a little bit later than planned, but they're live since beginning of April. That's probably why the revenues are a bit lower in the first half than expected. They also signed another big contract with the TX Group, which is a former TA Media. They expect to be live early next year. It's also billing as a service, so we really see scale in Swiss Billing coming up. Last but not least, on the ESG performance, I think some good successes there. We got upgraded to A in April 2020 from MSCI after the upgrade from to BBB in June 2019. Sustainalytics upgraded us to low ESG risk, ranked as number one amongst 112 consumer finance companies. So also, I think on ESG, we're making quite some very nice improvements. Finally, the outlook before we hand over to the Q&A. In general, I think Cembra is well positioned to manage the future. The assets are of strong quality, 100% Swiss consumer finance, proven historic risk performance. The capital position is solid, and we have secured the long-term funding. So for 2020, we expect to deliver a resilient business performance, with revenues being impacted mainly by overall lower volumes in credit cards, and also with solid loss performance expected for the full year 2020. The mid-term targets remain unchanged, so an ROE above 15%, a Tier 1 capital of at least 70%, 60-70 dividend payout ratio, and a net income delivery on Cascade as planned. So with that, I would like to hand it over to the Q&A session.